LASIK Live starts now. Woo! On Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. And you probably heard the weather isn't too bad outside. I know, I talk about it. I know, weather is important to me. It literally sets the mood for my day. If it's extremely cold or extremely cloudy or foggy, I'm just not as happy. I'm one of those people. Well, anyways, we got a lot to talk about today. And when I say a lot, I do mean a lot. We're going to talk about this tragic school shooting that happened in Madison, Wisconsin just yesterday. We're also going to talk about Mitt Romney. He's had a come to Jesus moment. I guess you could say a reality check when it comes to the MAGA movement and President Trump. Also, a D.C. councilman is in hot water. His name is Trayon White. And it's a very interesting story, actually. It's very similar to something that you would see in Baltimore City. So we got to talk about that. Also, at 11 o'clock, we'll be joined by Sean Sims. He spoke to a pest control company, and they revealed a rat infestation in a very interesting building in Baltimore City. That's at 11 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. Also, our friend Scott Willens, he's got an event coming up on December 27th in Frederick, Maryland. It's a salute to service event. So if you want to salute to our veterans and pay tribute, perhaps you could go to this event on December 27th, and I will most likely be there as well. So we'll talk to him around 11:35. And also, Marilyn Mosby, she had a small win yesterday. We'll talk about that, too. Real quick, I saw some headlines as I came into the studio today. A couple of different things that I just wanted to mention. The Baltimore Banner reports that Maryland colleges are warning international students to return before Trump's inauguration. Yes, this came out at 5:30 a.m. from the Baltimore Banner. You can read it there. And Johns Hopkins joins other schools in California and other very liberal states. But they're telling these international students to return before Trump is inaugurated because they're basically fear-mongering, right? They're basically telling these international students there could be a problem with you coming back to the country because President Trump is talking about deportations and all these other things. And again, why do they engage in stuff like this? Why would you do that? Why would you scare your international students? This is the same Johns Hopkins that had the kids protesting on their campus, right? Not just once, but more than once. One time because, of course, they didn't want Johns Hopkins to have their own security force. Remember that? Johns Hopkins was like, look, crime is out of control. Our students are being mugged, robbed, and sexually assaulted. So we're thinking about having some extra security on campus. Yet you had students and other actors on campus protesting against public safety on Hopkins campus. And then again, we saw recently, after the travesty on October 7th in Israel, you had people saying, you know, chanting from the river to the sea, making things extremely uncomfortable for their Jewish students. They didn't have much to say about that. But God forbid Trump is inaugurated. Come on, Hopkins. Get it together. I mean, this is crazy. That is complete fear-mongering. So hopefully your international students are not listening to you. And hopefully they'll consider transferring somewhere else. Because why would you go to school that would do such a thing? I tell you. And this is the same Johns Hopkins, by the way. And I know that a lot of people, a lot of great doctors there, a lot of great nurses, a lot of great staff, a lot of great professors. But, you know, there's been some things that Hopkins has done in the past where I just kind of raise an eyebrow and I keep it stepping. But my goodness, to talk about Trump being inaugurated after he won the popular vote, he won all 7 swing states. Yeah, he didn't do so well here in Maryland. Well, that's because Maryland, you know, you got a lot of government employees and some of Maryland voters aren't really voting in their best interests often. So, of course, they're not going to vote for President Trump. You know, that's something that they've done consistently. That's why you got to give them credit. At least they're consistent, right? All right, let's get into the school shooting that happened in Madison, Wisconsin. Of course, very heartbreaking situation, but there are some things that are not like the others, right? When we watch the school shootings unfold, unfortunately, across this country, and we've had more than 100 of those so far this year, by the way, in case you missed the numbers. But when we see these things unfold, a lot of times we'll hear immediately afterwards calls for gun control. A lot of times you'll hear a lot of these shooters using, you know, whether AR-15s or some type of rifle. This 15-year-old girl, the suspected shooter, took her own life, but she used a handgun. in this shooting, which is not typical for the school shooters. And she also had her social media pages up and open. And while people are going through the social media pages, they saw that she had a very, I don't want to say obsession, but kind of sort of. She was really into the Columbine shooting that happened back in the 1990s. And so I want you to take a listen. This is the audio I received from ABC News, and I made a note at 7:10 p.m. If there's more information that's come out since then, I apologize. Again, this is from 7:10 p.m. yesterday on ABC News. Take a listen. All right, and that was, again, ABC News at 7 p.m. yesterday. And you heard that there was a quick police response. Sounds like that this suspected shooter is a student at the school. So it wasn't a situation where the shooter broke into the school. The shooter was already in school. Like I said, they looked at her social media accounts. I saw where she had pictures of her holding the hand sign, like the white power hand sign. And then even she did that sign, apparently, allegedly, on a post right before she began the shootings. And it was her in a bathroom stall. She had on these black, like, they kind of look like Doc Marten boots. And she was doing the white power sign. And then apparently after that is when she went into the library and began to shoot. Now, of course, we're going to still wait for lots of the facts and the evidence to come forward. It's just like any other case, because as soon as it happened yesterday, I saw the notifications, but I knew not to pay too much attention to the details, because like any other day, or any other shooting, I should say, they usually get it wrong the first 4 hours. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but I've definitely noticed that. So I usually don't repost things when it comes to some of these shootings, because they don't usually get it right. If you want to weigh in on this, you can. It's 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Also, you can text me through the text line, which is through the WCBM app. The app is free in the App Store. Do yourself a favor and download it. Makes listening to the show very easy. Here's like I said, there are some differences here in the school shooter itself. And that is the fact that she is a female, obviously, at 15 years old. Of course, you know, right when this all began, there was lots of chatter about the shooter possibly being trans. Apparently, the shooter's boyfriend came forward and said that that is not the case. And even when I saw the picture that was floating around, possibly like 2 hours after the shooting, she looked like a girl to me. But these are things that now people will question. Because, you know, there have been shooters in the past with these shootings where the person is on puberty blockers or hormone pills. And so, of course, that question comes up immediately. Like I said before, we listened to the audio. Democrats are now calling for gun control. Notably, I saw some people in Congress, one being Jasmine Crockett. She's a congresswoman out of Houston, Texas. I thought it was interesting, and I noted it because yesterday we were talking about Houston, Texas. Because the beautiful little girl, Ivory Smith, the 7-year-old that was killed by an illegal immigrant that was drunk driving. Again, Jasmine Crockett has no words for Ivory Smith and her death. But she immediately started calling for gun control after this Wisconsin shooting. So, of course, I made note of that. And I will say that there's always something that you can say that is alike in all of these cases. And I'm not parent shaming. That's not what I'm doing. Let me go ahead and preface it with that. I'm not parent shaming. But just like the Columbine shooters, just like, you know, down in Broward County, Florida, just like many of the shooters, you know, that we've seen in all of these cases, even the shooters where the parents are arrested, and in that one case in the Midwest. Here's what I see and I noticed, I observed every single time. The parents know their children have a problem. The parents are well aware that their children have mental health issues. Now, you could say that some parents try to get their kids help, but oftentimes, even with the Sandy Hook case, you see that parent, knowing that their child has this situation, they still have weapons that are accessible to the kids. I will never understand that. Why are parents out to lunch on this? Are parents just in denial? You know when your kid has issues. You can't possibly not know that your kid isn't like the others. And this is the same thing that I noticed when everybody was, of course, in shock after the Columbine shooting. I remember seeing the videos, and I've gone back and I've looked at them again after seeing some of the recent school shootings. And you can see the videos of the Columbine shooters. They're taking videos in their house. They're taking videos in the front yard. They're showing in these videos how they are preparing to carry out a mass shooting. All of this is happening, right? And if you remember, one of the Columbine shooters, one of their mothers, after the fact, she started doing TED Talks. She was touring. She wrote a book. She started talking about how, you know, it's so awful what her son had done. But there were so many signs, Mom. So many signs. I've talked about this before. You know, not that I have any issues. Thank God. I understand people can't control it. But my parents used to go through my stuff all the time. Same with my brothers. And I would ask my mom, why are you going through my drawers? Why are you going through, you know, my backpack? And she said, because I've got to make sure that you're not up to something or that you're not hiding anything from me because you are my responsibility. Let's be honest about this conversation. When it involves juveniles, whether it's in Baltimore City, whether it's here, what we saw in Madison, Wisconsin, the parents seem to be out to lunch. Your child is your responsibility. And I agree with so many people calling for the parents to be held accountable in all of these cases. If your child is under 18 years old and your child is living in your house and you want to act as though that you're not responsible for any of this, I'm sorry. I can't do it. They were planning this under your roof. This girl in Madison, Wisconsin, she had it all over her social media accounts. She had it everywhere. You're telling me the parents didn't notice her making these white power signs? Her parents didn't notice that she obtained a handgun? They didn't notice any of this? They didn't notice her watching obsessively the Columbine shootings, posting about them obsessively? Parents have got to wake up. The kids that have been doing the shootings in Baltimore City. You're telling me you didn't know your son was on Instagram flashing hundreds of dollars of bills? He doesn't have a job. He's got a gun in his hand. Some of them times they've got two guns in their hands and he's 14. You didn't notice? I'm sorry. I can't sit back and watch this. If you don't want to do something about the mental health of your child, then maybe perhaps the system should do something about you. That's kind of how I feel at this point. Because now you have another situation where a student and a teacher has been killed and many others injured. Who knows how bad the injuries are? We'll discuss more when we get back. All right. I hope your day's getting started off right. Look, if you're listening to WCBM, obviously you're already doing well. Okay? That solves 50% of your problems already. You're on the good track, right? We're talking about the school shooting, another tragic shooting in Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, to be exact. 15-year-old girl carried out the shooting, then took her own life. She had an obsession with the Columbine shooters. And as I mentioned before the break, I feel like parents sometimes are out to lunch. Or perhaps it's more of that gentle parenting. I don't know. But you know what? Giving your kids space. You know, I hear this all the time. They're like, well, you know, I got to give my daughter space to grow. And who knows what she wants to be. And yeah, there's a difference here. There's a difference. You know for a fact, and I think I shared this before. There was a song. I had this whiteboard in my bedroom when I was in high school. And sometimes I would write music or write things out. And this is, of course, the time with cassette tapes. I'm that old, right? So sometimes I would write lyrics on my whiteboard as I'm listening to my cassette tape. Like I would hit play and then stop and then play and then stop, right? So I would write the lyrics because that's how I learned some of the songs. Well, anyways, I wrote down this song and the song, the gist of it was talking about suicide. It was like some alternative song. I don't know. It was popular at the time. And I think I told you guys, my dad, you know, ended up coming in my room, reading the whiteboard, and he thought it was one of the songs that I wrote. So, of course, there was like this big intervention meeting with Kimberly Nicole, right? It was like, oh, my God, I think Kim's going to hurt herself, right? We had a huge meeting about it. It was a family meeting. I said, no, that's the new song from like so-and-so. And they're like, oh, my God, thank God. Right? But those are parents, right? Those are parents. That's why I don't understand how your kid could post all of these things on social media. They have a gun, they have this and the third, and you never once think, maybe I gotta get a hold of little Tammy? It boggles my mind. I do have some people that want to weigh in on it, and of course I love to listen to you guys more than I like to listen to myself. I got Kurt and Edgewater. Kurt, what say you?
Sounds like they need a metal detector.
Yeah, that would be great, too. Yeah, and I doubt in Madison, Wisconsin, I doubt they have it.
Yeah, I mean, they got to put a little effort into stopping this stuff. I mean, gun control is just something Democrats dream about. I mean, that way they can take away, make everybody a slave.
Yeah, yeah. Kurt, I'm right there with you. I think that's a great idea. I hope you have a great week. I mean, look, again, in Madison, Wisconsin, I doubt they have the metal detectors there. But when you're seeing all these school shootings happening all over the country, at one point you got to say, you know what, it could happen here. Don't sit there and say it could never happen here, because you never know what's going on behind closed doors. I got Wade in Ellicott City. Wade, what say you?
I can't understand why there are not metal detectors in every school in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, we give money away to Ethiopia, Ukraine, Syria, Egypt, Nigeria, Somalia. I can go on and on.
Right.
Why don't we spend my tax dollars on protecting these children? Put the money back into this country.
Yeah.
And then they'll have a guy up there that's a resource officer that looks like he's a reject from a rent-a-cop. I mean, these are our most prized possessions. Why are there not metal detectors in every school? We can afford it.
Yeah. No, you're right about there, Wade. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you. I hope you have a great week. I mean, yeah, we can afford it. Look, and then when you see, like, the mayor, the state's attorney, and I'm not saying that they don't need security detail, but they have security detail. They're walking around with security 24/7. There is a cop that sits in front of the mayor's house 24/7, in case you didn't know that. Yes, we're protecting adults that many people would say are very important. But like Wade just pointed out, our kids are the most important. Think about how long it took them to start fining people, right, in Baltimore County. This is recently. Started to send out fines for those that didn't stop when school buses stopped and they had those stop signs come out of the side of the bus. They said, oh, now that we put cameras on the buses, we see all these cars whizzing by. People have been talking about this for years. They're just now caring. People have been whizzing by these buses for years. These are people's babies. I see it all the time. I see people texting on their phone in their car while driving past a school as kids are walking to school. What are you doing? Right? What are you doing? This is where we are, where, like I said before, it really does take a little personal responsibility. It does. So all of the schools, as our callers pointed out, to all of the schools that do not have metal detectors, this is your sign to go and get a metal detector. Okay? This is the sign. If you haven't done it already, do it. To all the parents out there that think their little Timmy can never hurt anybody, this is a sign for you to check little Timmy's backpack. Okay? I mean, a little personal responsibility goes a long way. We'll wrap this conversation up when we get back. Also, we're going to talk about the Baltimore City Youth Fund and the mismanagement of those funds and how they're defending it. More ludicrous. All right, we're talking about Madison, Wisconsin, tragic school shooting by a 15-year-old girl who tragically then took her own life. And I'm assuming there's probably some manifesto. There's always a manifesto, right? There's always one now. And that's how you know a lot of this is a little bit of the copycat side as well. When to wrap up this conversation, I got John and Glenn Arm. John, did you want to weigh in on the shooting?
Yeah, the mayor talks about wraparound services. And, if we get the backstory on this, there's going to be that whole family needed to have some kind of wraparound services around it.
Yeah.
You cannot have a kid shooting up a school without really doing a deep dive. And I mean a public deep dive into the family situation.
Yeah.
How are we going to ever learn, what the alarms are, what the flags are that are being thrown in the air, hey, attention, this is a problem. If they don't publicly evaluate what led to these things.
No, I agree with you, John. And I think if there's some real negligence there, maybe perhaps there should be some charges that are placed, upon the family.
But again, people need to hear about it. It needs to be public. There was a young lady in, I don't know if it was Kentucky or something. It was a year and a half ago. And, she was on Big Pharma, gender bender drugs. And did you hear anything more about that?
Nope.
It kind of just disappeared.
Yeah.
So, I think they just, whenever there's an overdose, whenever there's a suicide, whenever there's a school shooting, basically an unnatural death that the medical examiner has to see that cadaver on a slab, there needs to be a public report. They advertise murders, but they don't advertise drug overdoses. They don't advertise suicides, and they don't advertise these school shootings. So let's go. What's up with the family? What's going on there?
Yeah, I agree with you, John, 100%. Thank you so much for weighing in. I hope you have a great week.
Sure.
Thank you. And like I said, I agree. And then if there needs to be charges for negligence, charge the parents. I don't want to play this game anymore. Okay, I know many of you don't either, right? You either have children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, what have you, or you just don't want to see this happening on school campuses. My daughter, Olivia, she's in third grade, and of course they do like these mass shooting drills at school. And I might have already told you this, but of course this year they had a mass shooting drill, and it was a little different than last year. And she's Mrs. Police Officer, and she's, I call her a little busybody, because she is a busybody. Well, anyway, so she comes home that day, and of course, we get notifications as parents that they had these shooting drills because they want us to know, when that happens or whatever. So I get home today, or she gets home, and I was like, okay, Libby, I saw that you guys had the mass shooting drill. How did it go? She said, oh, you won't believe it. She said, well, everybody moved really fast, right? The kids got out of there very fast. But she said there was a part of the drill where I guess they expect the kids to be quiet. This really stuck out to her, right? And know that Olivia's never quiet. Please know this about my child. She said they expect the kids to be quiet, and they turn off the lights, and they shut the door, and they hope, I guess they're hoping the shooter will think the classroom is empty, right, if they walk by the door in the hallway. She said, so I don't know if we're going to live. And I said, what? She goes, because we can't be quiet. And I said, that is interesting. They're in third grade, right? If somebody was on the intercom and they said, oh, shooter, possible in the building, or they had the sirens go off for a possible shooter, right? Because I guess it's different from the fire alarm. You would have kids screaming. You would. There's no way you could have 20 kids hit the floor in the dark and hope that they don't say a peep. And she's right. There's no way that's going to work out. I said, so then what do you do after that? She said, there's another drill where they have to kind of run out of the building. She said they did it all very quickly. They made it in like record time or something like that. So she was just basically saying, she was expressing that they hope they just do the running one if it ever happens, because she's scared that the whole, like, I'm going to hide from the shooter is going to be a disaster and they're going to get killed. And I, as I'm sitting here listening to her, I'm thinking, she's right. I mean, I don't know why you would expect any third grader to be quiet after you announce that there is a shooter in the building. Anywho, apparently it's the same. It's not like just her school. Apparently it's the same kind of drills across the county. And I would suspect across the state and possibly the country. So if that's what they're doing, I don't know why they would do such a thing. I do hope that all of these classrooms at this point at least have a lock on the door in case there is somebody that enters the building. And I do hope that more of these schools do get metal detectors. I mean, it's sad. And then on top of it, look, you do these drills. If you got a kid in the class like you had here in Madison, Wisconsin, that know exactly what the drill is and they know exactly which doors are going to run out, they know exactly who's going where and what's going to happen, then you have another problem, right? So that the metal detectors, again, that's what makes sense. Anyways, yesterday we had a big question of the day, and it's, should funding be withheld from states, cities that oppose Trump's deportation plan? I want to thank all of you that took the poll on WCBM.com. 95% of you said yes, 5% of you said no. Sample size, about over 150 people took the poll. We got to get the sample size up. All right, we're going to have another poll question today around 11 o'clock. And then you guys, I want you to go to WCBM.com and take the poll. Interesting enough, 95% of the people saying that Trump should withhold funding from states or cities that oppose his deportation plan. I mean, that would definitely put Maryland in a tight spot. a very tight spot. I wonder if we had a larger sample, if it would have been the same numbers. I don't know if it would have been. You know where I sit on it. I agree. I mean, just, you know, make them wait it out. Also, you know what? I would love to see some of the numbers on the amount of federal funding in all situations, whether it's Department of Education, whether it's infrastructure, what have you. I would love to see a total that Maryland receives each year. And I'm pretty sure it's out there somewhere. But it is in my view that we are receiving a lot of federal funds, right? Especially to cities like Baltimore. And when you saw the ARPA funds alone come in, $641 million, all of that was taxpayer dollars from the federal level. And then even before that, we had COVID relief money come in. Then we had the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Well, I mean, when you add it all up, it's astronomical. And I just wonder if, look, I'm not telling, you know, President Trump or anybody else to withhold some of this federal funding, but should we look beyond those that do not cooperate with the mass deportation efforts? I'm one to think is once we get DOGE up and running, the Department of Government Efficiency, once we get that up and running and they tackle some of those broad issues that they want to tackle immediately, maybe we should start considering pulling back federal funding for, you know, all of the states in general. And it, I mean, it's in my view that we are spending way too much money. And I do believe that we could cut a lot more fat than we've cut. Speaking of money, we're going to go back to Baltimore City here. All right. So, yeah, last week we were talking about the Baltimore City Youth Fund. And we had former interim mayor and former city council president Jack Young. He made a statement and he said, look, when I initiated the Baltimore City Youth Fund, I never thought it would be used for traveling, for yoga, or any of those things that they've been doing with the fund. He said, I thought it would go just to the kids. I kind of call a little BS on that, because the way this fund is set up, it is not audited in any way. Like, there's no safeguards on this fund. So it's like, either you were really stupid when you set it up, or you didn't really care about where the money was going. That's the only two things that could be true here. Or I guess they could both be true at once. But at the same time, here's the thing. If you really wanted it to go to the kids, why would you set it up in a way that it's not going to be monitored by whether it's the Inspector General or the Board of Estimates or anybody? So I call BS on that, Jack Young. I really do. If you want to call in and challenge me on it, I'd appreciate the call. But I just don't believe you. Well, anyway, Spotlight on Maryland. They had this report that the Baltimore City Youth Fund paid for 100 local activists to go on an all-expense-paid trip to Alabama in February of this year. Okay, so the fund also covered costs for several individuals, including an assistant Baltimore City deputy mayor, to travel to Missouri for a racial equity conference. Don't ask me what that is, because I don't know. I have no idea. A racial equity conference. And what's so crazy about it, all the youth that are in trouble right now, I mean, is there really a whole lot of equity? You know, I mean, think about it. How inclusive is it? I mean, there's a couple Hispanic kids, maybe a handful of white kids, but it's mostly black kids. I don't know why we're still looking at race. Okay, you know who they are. Okay, and you know who they are. Well, anyways, a Baltimore City Youth Fund spokesperson sent Spotlight on Maryland a lengthy statement on Saturday afternoon. Right? It's almost like they had a couple of drinks. It was like, you know what? I'm going to respond now. Claiming that the trips are a capacity building. This is a quote. A capacity building investment for Baltimore nonprofits. Yes. So this youth fund, that's where it's supposed to, all this money, right? Millions of taxpayer dollars. Supposed to go to help the youth, right? Whether it's these wraparound services or all these other things, putting them in programs. Because when I thought about the youth fund when Jack Young first announced it, I was thinking, all right, here's a youth fund. Say you got a kid that wants to join a band or orchestra, right? And maybe their parents can't afford a violin or a trumpet. And, you know what I mean? I'm thinking it's going to go towards stuff like that. Like, get these kids engaged in something that they want to engage in and, you know, get them off to a good start and, you know, get them going. You know, something else other than hanging out on the streets. That's what I thought. Boy, was I wrong. Okay? Boy, was I wrong. And so what they're saying now is, you know, this youth fund, because these nonprofits work with the youth, as they tell us, there's no evidence of that. This is what they tell us, all right? I mean, what do you believe? The youth here is out of control. They tell us these nonprofits are working with the kids. And it could, maybe they are. Maybe they are. But they're saying that basically they need to send these individuals, these local activists with these nonprofits, they have to send them to this, you know, trip to Alabama or Missouri, what have you, because they need like this on-the-job training situation. Now, first and foremost, when it comes to these nonprofits, right, because they're separate from the fund itself, they're nonprofits. Why aren't the nonprofits doing their own on-the-job training? Why aren't they paying for their on-the-job training with the, some of the ARPA funds that they receive from the Baltimore City ARPA fund to begin with? That, to me, I don't understand this. So they have a separate fund that they're pulling from to do on-the-job training at these different nonprofits. There's no way in the world this makes any sense to anybody. But they're defending this. They're saying that this makes sense to them. And so, again, it's the quote is capacity building. What is capacity building? Producer Brian, what's capacity building? No, I don't know. I don't know either. I don't know either. I know. Capacity building? I can't tell you. Well, the spokesperson goes on from there. This is what she said. Any trip that the Baltimore City Youth Fund funds is an educational capacity building trip that our grantees and employees participate in to advance their knowledge in the nonprofit field in order to equip these individuals with the tools to strengthen the crucial work they are doing through the various programs they manage in support of our city's most precious asset, the youth of Baltimore. This is what the spokesperson said. So basically what they're saying is they're getting everybody in line, right? I mean, well, this is what you're saying. You want everybody at all these nonprofits you gave all this money to, you want to get them on the same page to do what you want them to do, all of these nonprofits. But not only that, why would you give these nonprofits checks to begin with if they aren't able to actually serve the youth? That's another question here. What are you doing exactly, and who are the people running these nonprofits? Like, when I think about successful nonprofits in Baltimore City, for instance, I think of Maryland New Directions, right? I used to work with them. They are very successful. They do a great job. I think of Sharp Dressed Man. Very successful, used to work with them. They do a great job. They get men prepared to go to work and they get them jobs, right? You can see the numbers, okay? You can even see the testimony in the videos. They post them on their social media pages talking about where these guys go off to work. Those are nonprofits that do what they say that they're going to do, right? Because they all have their own objectives, their own mission statements. So why on earth is the Baltimore City Youth Fund saying, here, let me send you on this all-expense-paid trip to Alabama, where you're going to then learn how to run your nonprofit that we've already written you a check for? This is what the spokesperson basically said. And then they had to have checked it before they sent it off, right? I mean, this is what they told the reporter for Spotlight Maryland. The spokesperson further claimed the Baltimore City Youth Fund's agreement with Baltimore City requires the fund to invest in nonprofit capacity building, but did not state whether out-of-state travel is mandated as part of that agreement. Now, of course, there's lots of comments on this. The comments are the best part, okay? I got to tell you. So, of course, I'm looking at this. Many of you guys listening, I'm sure you're thinking, none of this makes sense. Millions of taxpayer dollars wasted. But that's not new in Baltimore City. Like, we're not shocked that it's happening. I guess I'm more shocked that that was the response. And they sent it, and they said it, like, you know, with their whole chest, right? It's like, no, we have to do this because we got to, like, no, this doesn't make sense. You're doing it, you're getting away with it, because obviously nobody is overseeing where any of this money is going. And this is the case time and time again. So we are talking about the metal detectors in the schools. We are talking about protecting our kids. They're spending money on this. This is what they're doing. One of the commenters on this story, you can see it on Fox 45's website, by the way, it says, what about meditation? You forgot the 1 hour meditation following yoga. And be sure at least 2 hours of reflection, group bonding, you know, talks about the drinking, the cheese, the wine, the charcuterie boards. I mean, this is craziness. Now, another commenter said, it's time to clean house. Although it's doubtful anyone who is corrupt could be found anywhere in Baltimore or D.C. area to replace them. You know, this is just corruption. And it really is. But it's unbridled corruption. Like, they can get away with any of this. They don't care. And they know, guess what? What's going to happen? The voters are still going to continue to vote for them. The voters will still continue to put more taxpayer dollars into youth funds like this. The voters voted on this to begin with. So a voter said, oh, Jack Young wants to put a youth fund together. Did Jack Young then say, here's what the fund is for? Here's the safeguards they're going to put in place to make sure that's what the fund is for? No, he never said any of those things. I went back to check. He just said, we want to put together a youth fund to help the kids. Period. And this is what happens. When you allow people that have like this criminal mindset, right? They're crooks, like through and through. When you allow them the opportunity to be a crook, they're going to take that opportunity. And unfortunately, we have a lot of crooks in government. It's sad, but this is where we are. If you want to weigh in on this, you can. You don't have to. But I just wanted to update you because we talked about this youth fund last week. And I wanted to let you know that the spokesperson did respond. And that's the answer they gave. That is the answer. They had to do it because they had to pay for the on-the-job training for these nonprofits. Again, you can weigh in, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. The corruption just won't stop. It just won't stop. Speaking of corruption, when we come back, did you know Marilyn Mosby, the former state's attorney, did you know she had a small win yesterday? She did. We'll talk about it. All right. Of course, we talked about the Madison, Wisconsin shooting, tragic shooting that happened at a school, Christian school, just yesterday. And then we were talking about the Baltimore City Youth Fund and the fact that they are defending their expense report. They're basically saying, look, we've got to help with the on-the-job training. There's nothing we can do about it because this is what we need. And they did. They mentioned yoga and all of these things that they were doing on this Alabama trip. And I don't know if you heard during the morning drive when I was doing the tease with Sean Casey and Bruce Elliott. Bruce Elliott mentioned goat yoga. So, of course, I looked it up. He's absolutely correct. There is goat yoga. And I have to tell you, it's the most adorable little thing I've ever seen. These little goats, they just stand on people's backs while they do the yoga. And then afterwards, they like snuggle with the goats. I didn't know goats were so cute. I had no idea. Well, anyways, who knows if they were doing goat yoga? I doubt it with the Baltimore City Youth Fund. It didn't seem like a black activity with the goats. That's something that we would usually do. But you know what? Again, Baltimore City Youth Fund shows that there is nothing but corruption here. Got a text here from John in Pikesville. He says, Cam, I wouldn't give the city of Baltimore and the state of Maryland another dime until a complete audit has been done and every cent received from the government is accounted for. I'm right there with you, John. I really am. I got Tom in Harrisburg. Tom, did you want to weigh in on the shooting?
Yes. You know, it's funny that if I get three parking tickets, I can lose my car. $200 backwards on my water bill, I lose my house. So if these people are culpable or they have some liability there, they should lose every asset. They should lose their house, their car, their retirement, their 501. They should lose it all. And if they're on social services, be banned from it for life.
Wow, Tom,
then
you're tougher than I am.
Steps to put them away.
Yeah.
Then you take the legal steps and put them away if they are. And as far as these politicians, you know, we need to be like Santa Claus. Make a list, check it twice, find out who's naughty or nice in this idiot list. And when it's time to reelect them, we take that list and go to the person running against them. And then we redundantly put commercials about how they support corruption. And that's kind of how Trump got in, because he was showing this lady had no plan and no things to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Tom, I like the way you think.
That's my idea on it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Hope you have
a
great week.
Loved you from day one.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Look, it's a great plan. And I agree. Those, especially with your kids, if you're on any subsidies, any government assisted program, you should lose that immediately. You should. If you can't get your kid under control under your roof, in which we're the taxpayers are paying for, that roof over your head, I don't think you should have it. Tom, I'm right there with you. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Marilyn Mosby, her little win yesterday. And also Mitt Romney, before he leaves the Senate, he's had a come to Jesus moment. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680, WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning. Happy Tuesday. Gosh, if you're not up by now, I'm just jealous. But good morning to you. If you're just joining us, where the heck have you been? We talked about the Wisconsin shooting. I think we all agree metal detectors should be in every school by now. Gosh, it's almost 2025. Get up to date. Also, we talked about the Baltimore City Youth Fund and the fact that they now agree that they're mismanaging on the money, but they don't really care. That's basically what the spokesperson said. Look, we know we're mismanaging the funds, but I don't care. At least they're honest about it, and they're consistent, right? We'll give them that. Coming up here in a little bit, we're going to talk to Sean Sims. He's going to give us some details on a very concerning situation involving pest control in Baltimore City. And then later in the hour, we're going to talk to Scott Willens about an event on December 27th in Frederick, Maryland, a Salute to Service event. So we'll talk about that. We got a big polling question of the day here. It's already up on WCBM.com. Now, this polling question is brought to you by Turf Valley, your ultimate golf destination. And this is the burning question. Should the military be deployed to the southern border? Again, that's the question. Should the military be deployed to the southern border? Now, you can go to WCBM.com and take part in that poll. It's right there on the homepage. You can hit yes or no, and we'll get to those polling results. You can also call in 410-WCBM-680. That's 410-922-6680. So we're asking this question because CNBC did a poll. And they found out the majority of Americans are ready to support Trump and large parts of his agenda. And when I say majority of Americans, check this out, 73% that took part in the CNBC poll agreed on sending the U.S. military to the southern border to assist Border Patrol with getting control of the illegal immigration. We've known for quite some time that we don't have enough Border Patrol agents. And I think that many of us have talked in the past about, I hate to say that I don't trust the Department of Homeland Security or some of the agents with Homeland Security. And I would say, I don't know how much I trust all of the agents with ICE or Border Patrol. I'm just being honest with you. Whether they're Republicans or Democrats, I think that money can compromise many different people. But in my view, and you might disagree on this, but in my view, I think there are people from within that are assisting with this illegal migration, and they are getting paid by some of these coyotes or cartels. I do believe that through and through. It's in my heart. The more and more I look at the southern border being wide open, the more and more I look at all of these, even just some of those on the terrorist watch list coming over, right? The Chinese nationalists. All of those that are coming across illegally, the gotaways and what have you. I just don't believe that they're doing this and they're able to do this the way that they have gone about it without having people on the inside. I just don't believe that. And even the criminally charged illegal aliens, I don't believe that those that go through the system, right? We talked about yesterday the beautiful 7-year-old Ivory Smith that was killed in Houston, Texas by a illegal immigrant drunk driver. It is very hard for me to believe, you know, after this guy was detained, remember he spent about 100 or so days behind bars, he was then released and they said for unknown reasons, the detainer request was lifted from his case, which would have put him on ICE deportation list. And that, remember, that was what they said, unknown reasons. None of this sits well or right with me. I do believe there are people that are just fine with people like that drunk driver in Houston, Texas, people like the murderer Rachel Morin or Lakin Riley, right? Because remember, he was traveling on the Biden planes, you know, to different states after he came across. I do believe there are people within Border Patrol, within Department of Homeland Security, within ICE that know who some of these people are. And I believe they know they have criminal histories. And I believe these unknown reasons for lifting a detainer request from, you know, a judge that did it. I think that there are people on the inside that is assisting the cartel, the coyotes and all those that want to seem harm here in America. I do believe that. And I think that President Trump is going to have quite a lot on his hands. I don't envy the job that he's going to do, but I think there's going to be a lot that he's going to have to deal with because I think there are insiders that are against, you know, everything that he stands for. And even though we're going to get rid of Secretary Mayorkas, even though we're going to get rid of possibly whoever the head is of Border Patrol, even though I'll say Border Patrol Union, they supported Donald Trump, I think there are probably still people in there that have gone rogue. I mean, think about the Gun Trace Task Force, for instance, here locally at home. When you think about all the, you know, the so-called evidence they were planting on people, you know, the drugs, the guns, stealing drugs and guns from some of these individuals. I mean, they were running an entire operation within BPD. Now, of course, you got rid of those guys, the Gun Trace Task Force, but you cannot convince me that other people within the Baltimore City Police Department had no idea what they were doing. You can't convince me that nobody knew that they were have gone rogue for years. I mean, these guys were hanging out in clubs. They're doing it wide open. You're telling me nobody in BPD know about it? No, of course they knew about it. And so, you know, that's why I knew in the very beginning a consent decree had to happen, because you had to go through and weed a lot of that out. Now, whether or not the consent decree worked, I don't know. And if they haven't weeded them out by now, they're not going to get them. So, of course, lift the consent decree. That's how I feel about it. So we can really, you know, allow the cops to do their job. And we do have a lot of great cops. Don't get me wrong. That I will always back the blue. But when it comes to Border Patrol and when it comes to what we're doing on the southern border, I think we are going to have to deploy the U.S. military. And again, that's my question of the day to you. Do you believe that we should send the military to the southern border to help with immigration as President Trump takes office? I think we're going to have to. And I also think that we're going to have to put some informants in. We're going to have to put some undercover agents in, whether it's DHS, ICE, I would say even the DOJ. They're going to have to be everywhere. If they don't have that as part of DOGE, right, the Department of Government Efficiency, they're going to have moles. They're going to have to. There's no way you can clean house and say, oh, well, this person did this or this person did that. There are so many people that are doing things off the record that you probably would never find out about. But there are people within the department or people in their circle that probably do know a little bit about it. There probably is a little bit of, you know, chatter about it. But if we're really serious about draining the swamp, we're going to have to drain it. So again, I want you to weigh in. This is a WCBM poll question of the day, brought to you by Turf Valley, your ultimate golf destination. It's on WCBM.com. Currently, it is live. Should the military be deployed to the southern border? You can also call in 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. That's where I stand on this. We're going to have to. Now, what does that mean for our military? Because, of course, we were told that there's not been a whole lot of recruitment for the military either. And we're in a tough spot. We're in a tough spot. Not something that we can't get through. We can get through it, but we are in a tough spot. All right, I got my friend Sean Sims on the line. I'm going to go to Sean. Sean, first of all, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Kim, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Sean, you know, we're talking about the U.S. military. We're talking about the southern border. Talking about Baltimore City, how, you know, I think there's a lot of corruption there. And you know, of course, I came across your email yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I saw some interesting information, again, in Baltimore City. Could you let the audience in on this?
Well, what's going on in Baltimore City is that, well, actually, on December the 10th, the clerk of the court, Xavier Conaway, spoke in regards to the Legionnaire's disease that's going on in the other buildings. And because it's a municipal building, it's a government building, I guess he wanted to get out in front of the issue. But the problem is, in speaking about the possible Legionnaires and having the water tested, he did not let the public know that that building, the Mitchell Courthouse building, and I believe the Cummings building as well, has a major rat infestation. And as people know, rats, they actually do carry the Legionnaire's disease, Legionella pneumophila. That's the official name of it, which is the Legionnaire's disease. And that gets in the water through the pipes. And information I've been getting is that the rats are chewing through the floors, in the walls, and in the pipes. And there's a huge possibility that that could be spread, as well as airborne diseases, which rats bring. So the fact that this issue has been hidden by the clerk of the court, Xavier Conaway, he's hidden this information, not giving this information to the public, which uses the building, and they're going in the building, washing their hands, using the water, drinking the water. And I actually went down to the building to talk with people and meet with people who were going inside the Mitchell Courthouse building, and they informed me, no, we did not receive any notification. We were not told about this. We did not know anything about a rat infestation or Legionnaires, or possible Legionnaires disease. So that's a major, major problem.
Wow. Well, I knew they were talking about the water in that building. I did not realize that could have been the culprit there. Have you been able to talk to anybody in City Hall about this?
Well, what I've done is this. I've gotten attempted to get in contact with Zeke Cohen, the mayor, Zach Blanchard. That's his district, District 11, Zach. That's your district where that circuit courthouse is, the circuit courthouses are located. And I have not received any. Let me get this straight. So everyone has to understand what is going on here in Baltimore City. And Kim, much to your credit, you're getting this information out where other outlets, media outlets, have refused to put this information out and of keeping the public in the dark. Xavier Conaway, the clerk of the court, is refusing to tell the public. He's refusing to get this information out to the public. And I also got in contact with Sheriff Sam Cogan, attempted to, but I was told that he's seldom in the building, he's seldom in his office. So I'm trying to get in touch with other folks, and I have gotten in touch with the Baltimore City Health Department. They are doing an investigation.
Oh, good.
I don't know exactly when it's going to take place, but they should be, I believe they should have started the investigation. So I'm trying my darnest to get in touch with folks. The city council is well aware. They've been carbon copied from Zeke Cohen. We emailed to Zeke Cohen, called the fire chief, James Wallace. His office was notified. I have not received, and this is trying to get a comment or something from Xavier Conaway, the clerk of the court, an elected official.
Yeah.
He has not returned a phone call. He has not returned an email. He refuses to comment on the rat infestation. And that should be troubling to the citizens of Baltimore City and to any citizens in the state of Maryland that have to go down to that courthouse for official business.
Yeah, absolutely. Sean Sims, we appreciate your work on this. I guess, will you keep us up to date on what happens here? Believe it or not, Sean, over the weekend, Zeke Cohen got into a little argument with me on X. I had no idea. Well, that here he is ignoring what's going on again within his district, because he's got a habit of doing so.
Yes, he has not gotten back to me. Xavier Conaway, the clerk of the court, has not gotten back to me either. I'm waiting for James Wallace, the fire chief, because rats cause 20 to 25% of fires in houses and buildings.
Yeah.
People don't know that. By chewing through the wiring, and that causes sparks, and you can have all types of situations where a fire can be created. So you have a serious health and safety problem in the Mitchell Courthouse and the Cummings Building, and this is being ignored by the media and those who are in power, the powers to be, elected officials and appointed officials, including Lionel Moore, the court administrator. He has been made aware of this as well, and he is ignoring it as well. So the blame seems to be going around to a bunch of folks, Democrat elected officials. Okay, so these are the folks you put in the office, and this is what they think of you.
Yeah. Well, Sean, keep us up to date on this, if you will. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
I definitely will, Kim, and take care.
Thank you. Could possibly some breaking news there. You know, luckily, Sean Sims letting us know more about what's going on. I mean, look, the rat infestation issue has been an issue in Baltimore City for quite some time. But as Sean pointed out, you know, there's issues within these buildings that they've been discussing, and a lot of it having to do with the water. If there's an infestation like this with the rats, you know, what Sean is saying could be true. Somebody's going to have to investigate this. Somebody's going to have to. All right, we get back. I'm actually going to tell you a little bit about a story that I had with the rat infestation, but we're also going to talk about the CNBC poll. Don't forget, go to WCBM.com. Poll question of the day brought to you by Turf Valley, your ultimate golf destination. Should the military be deployed to the southern border? We'll discuss that and more. All right. You You know, I think that's breaking news right there. I really do. I trust Sean Sims on this. Now, again, I saw this going back and forth on an email. There were multiple people on this email talking about this rat infestation, possibly at the circuit courthouse there in Baltimore City. That's a problem. That's a problem. Big problem. Real quick, when I used to take the videos through Baltimore City way back when in 2019, I went into some of the vacant homes, right? We were kind of trying to document it and show it. Very dumb idea. Very stupid. I don't suggest anybody doing it. But I went into some of the vacant homes and I ended up getting rat mite bites. I know it sounds crazy, but there were rats, and on these rats, there were these mites that were jumping off of them kind of like fleas, and they were tearing me up. I had like the worst rash you could possibly imagine. Well, anyways, it started to spread. I had to go to the hospital, and believe it or not, I get to the hospital, and, and this guy comes in with like a hazmat suit on. They were like, we don't really know what you have. And they go, and Chris Anderson, my friend, he tells a story all the time. But they come in, and they gave me a scabies wash. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so they said they believed that it would take care of it, but they kept asking me. They were like, where have you been? Where were you? And I said, what? I was right in West Baltimore. I went into the vacant home. I said, but there's three homeless people living in that home that I went into. And I thought it was like, what is it, like the poison oak or whatever? Because there's all these trees out there. You had to go through all these bushes. I thought it was poison oak or poison ivy. And the guy was like, no, that's not what this is at all. And then later on, we found out after doing the scabies wash, I had to go back in so they could take another look at it as it was going away. And they had me throw out all my clothes. I had to like get the car detailed. It was like all this stuff. And it happened to be the mites that jumped off the rats. The rat, they were biting me. Rat mite bite. So yes, rat infestation, serious health risk, serious concerns, and I would not play games with that. So if anybody's listening, please follow up with Sean Sims, and I hope people get to the bottom of it, because a lot of people do visit that courthouse, and a lot of people do use the water there as well, and they've been talking about the water issues. Wow, that's interesting. We'll keep our eye on it. Again, the question of the day, WCBM poll question, brought to you by Turf Valley, your ultimate golf destination. It's on WCBM.com right now. Should the military be deployed to the southern border? This is a big question. I say yes, but what say you? I've got Steve and Laurel. Laurel, Steve, what say you?
Hey, Kimberly. This is my first time calling.
Oh.
Appreciate your show.
Well, no, thank you. Thanks for calling.
In terms of the two things I wanted to talk about, one was you talked about the gun task force in Baltimore City. At that time when it was discovered that they were all crooked, my wife was a prosecutor in Baltimore City, and they literally had to throw out hundreds of cases. Literally hundreds of cases were thrown out because of the tampering of evidence and the other things you were talking about. So it was pretty discouraging for the prosecutors. And, of course, that was under Mosby.
Right. You know what? I forgot about that, Steve. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, in terms of the military going to the southern border, and I'm not a constitutional lawyer. I can't tell you where I read it, but I know I read in the Constitution that the United States government has a responsibility to protect states from being invaded by foreign, entities. And so this whole thing on the southern border is absolutely should definitely be the United States military protecting the states, Texas, Arizona, and California, and any other states, even the northern states, New York and the other states that border Canada. That's my opinion, is that the military should definitely deploy, because the argument that many people make about the military being used within the United States, the argument is, yes, the military should not be used against United States citizens. But what we're talking about is the military being used to protect the borders of the United States.
Yeah.
Against the drug cartels and whatnot. So that's my opinion. Anyway.
Yeah. No, Steve, great opinion. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you. And thank you for reminding me about those cases being thrown out in Baltimore. What a mess that turned out to be. Right? Such a mess. Again, go to WCBM.com. Poll question of the day. Should the military be deployed to the southern border? WCBM.com. Mark in the text line said 100% military on the border. And while they are there, they can hold a firing squad for Mayorkas for treason. I hope we see something like that, Mark. That would be great. Oh, man. Coming up next, you're going to be joined by Scott Willens in a little bit. He's going to tell us about his Salute to Service event coming up on December 27th. Also, I wanted to just run down to D.C. real quick, if you'll run with me. There was a councilman that is in hot water. His name is Trayon White. Now, meanwhile, even with all the hot water, the corruption, the scandal, can you believe the constituents still voted for this guy again? There's so many similarities to Baltimore City. Wait till you hear this story, because even Mayor Bowser, she weighed in on it as well, and I got that audio for you. All right. I think we've had a great show thus far. Got so much more in store for you. And then, of course, you're going to tune in to Rob Carson at 12 o'clock, as I do. Don't forget, if you haven't already, download the WCBM app. It is free in the App Store, and it makes it very easy to listen to the show on the go. Also, the poll question of the day. Some of you are already partaking in this poll. The WCBM poll question is brought to you by Turf Valley, your ultimate golf destination. Should the military be deployed to the southern borders? Want to tell you real quick, I'm on WCBM.com right now, and 93% of you so far say yes, the military should be deployed to the southern border. 7% obviously say no. So we will see what happens. I would suspect that that's exactly what they're going to do, because otherwise, where are they going to pull people from? We are short on police. We're short on everything right now when it comes to public safety in general. And so I would think that they would have to pull from the military. Now, of course, you know, there's a lot of chatter over the weekend. You probably saw Nancy Pelosi fell, ended up in surgery for her hip. Again, when you're at this point, right, the Mitch McConnell, the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, just retire. Please. Retire. We don't want to see you falling and getting hurt, all right? We don't want to witness you getting all beat up. And I think it's weird that their family members don't intervene, right? They need, like, an intervention. Like, those days are over. You had a great run. Hang it up. Well, anyways, I'm still sending prayers to Nancy Pelosi because, obviously, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. All right, this story here reminds me a lot of Baltimore City, so I had to bring it to you. The D.C. Council Committee just yesterday took steps toward expelling Trayon White. See, I know we don't know a ton about the D.C. Council unless, you know, you actually look at what D.C. is doing. If you're like me, you probably don't pay that much attention to it. But a committee of the D.C. Council voted to recommend expelling a member after an independent investigation said that there was substantial evidence that Trayon White accepted bribes and violated the council's code of conduct. Now, this is why I looked at this and I said, wait a minute, this has Baltimore City written all over it. Now, we know, you know, in Baltimore, we have the office, the mayor's office of neighborhood safety and engagement, right? It's called MONSEE. They oversee safe streets, you know, the gun violence reduction strategy, all this stuff. If you ever thought that Mayor Brandon Scott had an original thought in his head, I'm just here to tell you, you know, expel those rumors, because he does not. All right. This is something that the Biden administration put out, that they wanted those that were receiving the ARPA funds to do all over the country in many of these cities. Well, if you know, so did D.C. So Trayon White, he is accused of agreeing to accept $156,000 in exchange for using his position to pressure employees of the D.C. Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement. They don't call it MONSEE there. They call it ONSEE. They don't have the M. And the D.C. Department of Youth Rehabilitation Services. This is something, isn't it? Yeah. Now, he was pressuring them to extend several contracts. The prosecutors say that Trayon White was the chair of a D.C. Council committee that oversees several agencies, including that Department of Youth Rehabilitation Services. See, what they do is they use this whole youth thing, right? Like, we're using the youth fund here. And then this is how they do some of their money laundering. They use these youth funds. Now, of course, I don't have any evidence of it happening here in Baltimore, but they do have evidence that it's happening there in D.C. I would suspect that is why you've got Spotlight Maryland and all these people looking into the youth fund here. I would suspect they're doing similar stuff, because remember, a lot of these people involved in, like, this the mayor's association and, you know, all those in these urban areas, very blue districts, they have these mayor association meetings. I think they do them, I want to say quarterly, or you know, maybe not quarterly, but I know that Mayor Brandon Scott, he goes to them as well because he posts about it on social media. But they come up with these ideas, and I do believe they kind of meet and talk about ways that they can do and get away with some of these things. That's what I believe. And so as you see there, he had Trayon White, this D.C. city councilman, he received, according to prosecutors, four cash payments of $35,000 in this alleged scheme. Now, apparently, there's other things that were happening with Trayon White, and that will supposedly be coming out in the future. But at this point, as of yesterday, the city council had to vote whether or not they were going to remove him. Now, it's interesting because he did have an election this past election cycle, November 5th, like many of us, and 20,000, yes, 20,000 people in his district reelected this guy after this was already made public. The public knew that he accepted this bribe money, and they still voted for him. Like, how is this possible? I don't know. Well, Mayor Bowser, she was asked yesterday about what she felt about Trayon White. Listen to this word salad.
I think that the council has a job to do, and it did it. And it did it expeditiously and following its rules. So, yes, I think they did what they had to do.
You don't have any opinion personally on whether or not he should be expelled from the council?
I would like to continue to look at, I looked at the committee report over the weekend, and I think that the facts and the standards that they have for making a decision like this were met.
Okay, dokie. As she could have simply said, yeah, all right? It was a yes or no question. But, of course, they play these games, right? Because they want to sound like politicians, and they don't want to upset anybody. Because I'm sure this D.C. councilman, Trayon White, who prosecutors... I mean, this has already played out in court, right? They have all this evidence, okay? You still could say allegedly, but it's really not alleged. But I guarantee you, Mayor Bowser shares donors with this Trayon White. And so she can't really say definitively, oh, yes, city council, they took the right action. You know, they should expel him immediately. I think that is true. She can't say that because, again, politics. You see, this is why when you've got one party mob rule, right? I mean, think about it. Yeah, you've got Mayor Brandon Scott, you've got Zeke Cohen, you've got all these people here in Baltimore City, all these Democrats. But really, who's controlling a lot of this is their donors, right? I mean, their donors, these special interest groups, the lobbyists, they're the ones controlling the destiny of the city because these guys and gals, they're all working hard for re-election and for the donations. And a lot of what you see, right, especially around in these urban areas with this, you know, Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety Engagement, the Gun Trace Task Force, the Safe Streets, it's happening all over because in order to get those ARPA funds, a lot of them had to sign on to this with the Biden-Harris administration. Remember, that was American Rescue Plan money. Now, they house that ARPA fund and saying that, oh, we're doing this because this city was locked down so long during COVID and blah, blah, blah. So they used a COVID excuse, but that's not what they were doing. They were using the COVID excuse to implement these gun violence reduction strategies and all this other stuff for money laundering in these cities. That's what's going on. And so to sit here and think that this isn't happening in Baltimore, look, I'm going to give my opinion like I do every day on this. I think that Safe Streets is a criminal organization. I think they're money laundering. And I think that what you see here in D.C., I guarantee you they're doing it here in Baltimore. That is my opinion. Kim Klasick, not, you know, what WCBM is saying, not what anybody else is saying. It's me, okay? This is just my opinion on it. Do I have hard facts on it? I don't. Do I hope that people are investigating? I do. So when you have a former interim mayor, Jack Young, saying, oh, I didn't know the Baltimore City Youth Fund was going to be used for all this. Remember, he enacted that fund when he was still in office. He never thought that he was going to be voted out. He didn't think that. He thought he was going to, remember, he ran for mayor. He thought he would be right there. And so then he says, oh, well, I didn't put any safeguards on there because, you know, I figured they would do the right thing. Yeah, right, homie. You're not pulling the wool over my eyes. Okay? I'll tell you again. I'm Kimmy from the block. I see it. Right? We're not stupid here. A lot of these aren't coincidences. And so what really is a shame is the fact that even with all these investigations, just how long it takes to show this corruption. But as I mentioned before, with the voters there in D.C., they knew about all of this. and they still voted for Trayon White. Now, of course, there's some videos, there's lots of news clips on this. Trayon White has made some comments saying that he should not be expelled and blase, blase. Of course, that's what he's going to say. I expect him to say no less than that. But if you're accepting bribery, right, these payments, four payments of $35,000 cash, there was a 48-page report that concluded all of this, according to this report. You can see this, by the way, on NBCWashington.com, Channel 4 there in D.C. It really is sad. Now, of course, you've got other people on the committee making statements. Here is one. I am profoundly disappointed in the conduct of Trayon White. But the evidence is clear that whether or not his actions rise to the level of criminal conviction, they constitute a violation of the council's code of conduct, and more importantly, the public's trust. Okay, now that was McDuffie, the chair of the ADHOC committee. Investigators did not find substantial evidence that Trayon White violated residence requirements because apparently Trayon White, this guy that received these cash payments, get this, he was linked to homes in both Wards 8 and 6. Now, he represents Ward 8, right, which is District 8 there in D.C., but they're saying that he's got homes in both places. But they cannot prove that he's not living in District 8, even though he does have that house in District 6. So if you're wondering if D.C. is a mess like Baltimore, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. The only difference is down there, they don't have juveniles running the streets, and there is carjacking and there is juvenile crime, but it's not to the extent that you see here in the Baltimore region. In the Baltimore region, they've lost all control. Now, again, we also have Vinny Schiraldi as the head of DJS. So that's why, I mean, you've got the state impacting the city, and that is why we have the juvenile crime that we have. But believe it or not, there's been juvenile criminals that have been linked from D.C. cases to here in Baltimore City as well. It's a mess. It's a mess. Baltimore voters, D.C. voters, voters in all of these urban areas, you have to clean house. This is not in your best interest. It has been known. It is a fact. They're putting it right here in front of you. The prosecutors, the courts, they're showing you that they are using you. These youth funds that they're using for money laundering, they could care less about whether your kids are in rec centers, whether they're going to achieve success, whether they have access to the best education. They don't care about that. They are worrying about their spa treatments and yoga and their trips to Alabama and their trips to these racial equity meetings. That's what they care about. Right, we talked about LifeBridge yesterday and how much money they're making, the top executive, millions upon millions of dollars. Meanwhile, Safe Streets is being caught up as a drug and gun run operation. And that's not according to me. That's according to what we see with the FBI. And I don't know when people are going to wake up. I hope it's soon. I do. I feel like sometimes I'm preaching to the choir here. But again, I wanted to bring that to you. And I say this because in D.C., if this is how it's happening, the voters see it. They still vote for it. I think this is why we end up getting in this cycle in Baltimore as well. And so what do you do? How do you get past this? How do you inform voters that they could have a better way of life? I guess you just keep talking about it. I don't know. But just wanted to put that on the table. Right now, I got my friend on the phone, Scott Willens. Scott Willens has an event coming up. First of all, Scott, good morning to you. How are you?
Great, Cam. Good to hear you.
Yeah, you too. Scott, now you work very hard, and I appreciate you. And you're always doing so much in Carroll County, especially for the GOP. And we appreciate you. You helped out with my campaign. And, you know, I know you got an event coming up on December 27th. I just want to make sure everybody knows about it so they can attend.
Thank you. Yes, this is not a political event. This is a triple military charity event. It's called 80s Rewind Salute to Service. And you can find Facebook page for that, or you can go to the Weird Science page, which is my 80s band that will be performing at this event. It's from 7 to 11 p.m. at the Rockwell Brewery Riverside in Frederick, which is a great venue. The tickets are $35, and the proceeds all go to these three charities. The first one is Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North's Freedom Alliance Scholarship Fund. Money goes to children whose parents have been killed or wounded in action in Iraq and Afghanistan for college scholarships. The second charity is the Carroll County Veteran Independence Project, on which I sat on the board for a couple of years. Also helps connect veterans, not just in Carroll County, but extended out to the state with their VA benefits and other benefits they may not be aware of. And the third charity is the Happy Hubs, which is defrays veterinary costs for veterans. It's run by my veterinary partner, Mark Chappelle, who is still on active duty as a lieutenant colonel in the Army. And this is all in the name of my casualty notification, Stephen McGowan, who was killed in Iraq on March 4th, 2005. We're coming up on the 20-year anniversary of his death, and I unfortunately had the honor of notifying his mother that he had died that day, but his Gold Star sister will be there in attendance. I know Brigadier General Reed Novotny will be there as well. Brief speeches. It's very casual. It's going to be, you can wear casual clothes or 80s attire, whatever you like, since it's going to be all 80s music. There will be food trucks there. There'll be raffle and silent auction. So again, that's 80s Rewind Salute to Service at the Rockwell Brewery Riverside on December 27th. That's a week from Friday from 7 to 11 p.m.
Yeah, well, Scott, thank you so much for all that you do. And I hope that you have a great attendance on that. And just so people know that, you know, you do have a great singing voice. So
thank you.
So it'd be great. And a lot of people don't know, Scott, that you sing the national anthem at many events. And if anybody, and I know many people listening attended Rob Carson's event last November here, you were the one that sung the national anthem. You did a fantastic job.
Appreciate that. Thank you. And I was at the Army-Navy game this past Saturday, and unfortunately for my Army-Navy one, but it's one of those events. It's the America's game, so everyone on the field is willing to fight and die and sacrifice for everyone in the stands and everyone watching at home. So you can't get too down about what team wins and loses there. And obviously when they panned to Trump and Vance and Daniel Penny and others in that box, everyone just lit up and went insane with uproar of applause for our incoming returning commander-in-chief that we've been without for far too long.
Yeah, I can only imagine. It must have been quite the electric vibe there at the stadium. I can't even imagine what that was like in person.
I can't believe I never went in my 20 years on active duty, but better late than never, and definitely enjoyed that. So
yeah.
Hope folks can make the event. Tickets are still available, and you can also get them at the door. So if you're not sure about your schedule and if you're able to attend, then you can always get them at the venue.
All right. Well, Scott, thank you so much. Again, it's Salute to Service, December 27th, 7 to 11 p.m., and it's at the Rockwell Riverside Brewery there in Frederick, Maryland, and benefiting some great causes. Scott, thank you so much for informing us.
Thanks
we appreciate
for your time.
You.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Thank you. And that was, again, with Scott Willens, and his band is called Weird Science. And like I said, he has a great singing voice, and this is a great cause. Coming up next, I'll wrap up the show, and I'll go through some text messages here, as so many of you have been weighing in all day.
She traveled this road.
All right, don't forget, child. Scott Willens just informed us, Salute to Service. That event is on December 27th in Frederick, Maryland. Again, just type in Salute to Service, I think, on Facebook, and it pops right up there for you. Now, tonight, I have to say, I have to go to Olivia's Christmas concert tonight. She is very excited. She's been very excited for quite a while. For the last 3 weeks, she's been singing Go Tell It on the Mountain. So I'll be happy when that's over. Such a cute kid. Such a cute kid. And this is, like, the best time of year, too. Right? Because the kids, they all have, like, their Christmas stuff on. They have a Christmas sweater party on Friday. It's so cute. And, of course, we've still got our elf on the shelf, you know, making a lot of messes. And that's always nice, too. Always great. Love this time of year. Real quick, we were talking about the rat infestation. My friend Darren Muhammad, he actually sent over the link. They are talking about this on WJZ CBS News. But they're talking about the water quality test for the Legionella bacteria. Now, of course, they listed the buildings that they were talking about, and that is the Elijah Cummings Courthouse, the Clarence Mitchell Courthouse, and the Juvenile Justice Center is also on this list. I believe Sean Sims, and I do believe that a lot of this is because of the rat infestation. And if they're trying to act as though that there isn't a rat infestation, they're going to have to figure out why the Legionella bacteria is in the water. And they're going to have to come forward with this information. So better now than later. I don't understand why they would keep this under wraps. The only thing I can think is, remember when President Trump pointed out the rat infestation, like we were doing all those videos in West Baltimore? That's a real thing, okay? And it is a health crisis. There are a lot of health crises going on in Baltimore City, even when we talked about the coal in the air in Curtis Bay with David Jones. There are so many things that they should be tackling, but we're also hearing about what? Emissions in the air, climate change, the red line, Kerwin Commission. They're all focused on all of these other issues when we have actual crises happening right now. Like, this is what kills me about government. And I'm not going to say that it's just the Democrats. Republicans, you know, do the same thing in other areas as well. Like, can we focus on us? Can we focus, like we say all the time, America first? Some of these school buildings? I can only imagine. Well, I mean, we talk about the water fountains that they can't use at some of these schools. How many of these schools do you think have rat infestations? I guarantee you there's at least a few. Are we going to hear about it? Probably not, because they're going to try to keep it under wraps. But you can't convince me that that's not happening. I do have a text here from Gene. Gene says, Cam, ATC Pest Control could rid Baltimore of its rats and could have saved your clothes from the dumpster. If you get any pest problem and you are told to throw away your possessions, give them a call first. Yeah, no, I know. There are many places that can help out. I guess at that point, I was like, let me just get rid of this. I mean, once you have to go into a hospital and somebody comes in your room in a hazmat suit, you're like, yeah, I'm going to throw it all away. And, if I could throw the car away, I would do that too. I would do that too. But yeah, in case you missed it, rat mite bites. That's what I had back in 2019. And I thought I had poison oak or poison ivy. And because there were so many bushes and everything outside this vacant house. But it was because of the rat infestation and the mites that the rats had. It's a serious problem. I wonder how many of the kids that go to schools, you'll check their skin and possibly they have rat mite bites. I don't want to think about it. I don't even want to think about it. All right, tomorrow we have a lot to talk about. Obviously, there's so much going on when it comes to what's happening on Capitol Hill. We'll also talk about on Capitol Hill whether or not they got this budget passed and if we're going to see 100% of federal funding going towards the Francis Scott Key Bridge. That'll be interesting as well. And I'm sure so much more that we'll learn from the Madison, Wisconsin shooting. We'll get the updates on that too. So, if you can, enjoy your evening. If you're like me, you'll be at a Christmas concert. Have fun. Wear a Christmas sweater. As always, Brian, thank you for a great show. I will talk to all of you tomorrow at 9 a.m.